Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm Larry Snow. I'm the senior minister at Murray Hills Christian Church. And you realize that we disciples really are not much more than renegade Presbyterians. So it feels almost like coming home. I'm in an odd place. John told me, preach your sermon, preach the word, but remember, at the conclusion of the service, they're going to transform the sanctuary into an art gallery, so don't preach too long. I am not sure quite how to do all that. Maybe we can hit a happy medium. I am the senior minister of what I have come to call the Gang of Five. We progressive clergy are taking turns in each other's pulpits. I am the senior member because I am the oldest, not the longest tenured, or certainly not because I am the wisest. We have discovered two things. One is that you folks are having a good time with this, that it's fun to hear a different voice in the pulpit. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, man, maybe we can get a good one this time. But we clergy are having fun with it too. Part of it, I believe, is that what we've chosen to preach on are our biggest questions, the ones that we're wrestling with. Maybe we don't preach on those quite enough. Maybe too often we just preach on other things. But anyway, I have chosen God. In my childhood, I remember attending a worship service, and I have no idea what the occasion was, but I remember that they handed out a worship bulletin that had on it a picture of God. And it's been more than 50 years, and I can still describe that picture to you. It's that well inscribed on my mind. It showed a great big old man with a great big long beard and long hair, and he was sitting in this big wooden chair, which was obviously up in the clouds. And he was seated before a desk, and there was this big book on the desk. And in his hand was a pen, and it was pretty clear that he was keeping track of something. Fifty years, and I haven't forgotten that. You know, what's interesting to me is that that picture of God is the one that most people carry around with them. They picture God as the men upstairs. They believe that God is keeping track of our rights and wrongs, that God chooses the winners for the Super Bowl and encourages people to run for president even if they don't get the nomination. This is the God who punishes cities for advocating gay rights with things like hurricanes and tornadoes. And this is the God that rewards the righteous football teams with their win. It's quite the picture of a God. And I have to admit that if I take that picture of God very far, that I find myself dealing with a God that is so small, so insignificant, so unfair, that I can't believe at all. I'm mindful of a story that Marcus Borg told many times. He'd be teaching away in one of his classes at Oregon State, and afterwards students would come up and say, Dr. Borg, I just can't believe in God anymore. And he would say, so tell me about the God you don't believe in. And invariably they would describe the God that I have just talked about. And he would look at them and he'd say, you know what? I don't believe in that God either. You know, if that were my only choice, I would join people like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and argue that there is no God at all, at least not one worthy of our worship. But fortunately, I think we've got some other choices. Fortunately, it's up to us, and maybe it's time for us to draw a different picture of God. It was Voltaire who said that God created man, pardon the sexism, God created man, and then man returned the favor. God, if we admit it, is beyond our understanding. God is beyond us. None of us are going to wrap our minds around God. The best we can do is grab hold of a part of God. There's an old Sufi story that I've been carrying around with me since childhood. There were six blind men in a city who heard that there was an elephant coming to town. And while they could not see it, they decided that they would go and check out this elephant, feeling it to figure out what an elephant was like. So they go up to the elephant, and the first one says, hey, the elephant is like a pillar, said the first man who touched the leg. Oh no, it's like a rope, said the man who touched the tail. Oh no, it's like the thick branch of a tree, said the third man who touched the trunk. It's like a big fan, said the fourth man who touched the ear of the elephant. It's like a huge wall, said the fifth man who touched the belly. It's like a solid pipe, said the sixth man who touched the tusk. And they began to argue amongst themselves as to what an elephant was really like when a truly wise man stopped by and said, so what's the problem? And they all explained that they had touched the elephant and they knew what it was like, but they couldn't agree on who was right. And the wise man explained, you realize that you've all just touched a different part of the same animal. You're all right, but none of you sees the whole. I have to wonder if that isn't how it is with us and God. None of us have been able to touch the whole. All we can do is touch a part. And maybe for the last 500 years or so, we Christians have been touching a part of God that is angry or judgmental. Maybe, but certainly that is not the whole of it. So if we're going to draw a different picture of God, where do we begin? I believe that we begin by trusting our experience. When we look at the world, what kind of God do you believe is present? One that is completely fair, giving people exactly what they deserve? Hardly. What we find is a world in which bad things seem to happen with randomness, as well as good things, that it does not appear there is a God micromanaging the world. What else do we experience? I'm a big fan of Abraham Joshua Heschel. Are any of you fans of Heschel? Oh, I recommend him to you. He was a rabbi, early 20th century, who was wise, wise beyond beyond his years, who wrote this: God is not always silent, not always blind. In every man's life, there are moments when there is a lifting of the veil at the horizon of the known, opening a sight of the eternal. Each of us has experienced at least once the momentous reality of God. Each of us has once caught a glimpse of the beauty, peace, and power that flow through the souls of those who are devoted to Him. But such experiences are rare events. To some people, they're like shooting stars passing and unremembered. In others, they kindle a light that's never quenched. The remembrance of that experience and the loyalty to the response of that moment are the forces that sustain our faith. In that sense, faith is faithfulness, loyalty to an event, loyalty to our response. You know what he's saying? Have you ever experienced awe and wonder? Have you ever stood at the beach and watched the sunset and had the sense that there was something beyond you? Have you had a sense that there is a great mystery to life? Well, Heschel would say that that is God. That God is there, and not the God of judgment and anger and wrath, but a God of incredible beauty and welcome and love. Awe and wonder. I wonder if that's what was going on in the mind of the psalmist when he or she wrote, "Oh God, when I look at the heavens, I wonder at the I can't quote it. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've established, what are human beings that you're mindful of them?" Isn't that sense of awe and wonder? Or what about the prologue to John? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Talk about mystery and awe and wonder. Maybe that's where we begin. It's by trusting our own experience of life. When we look at the world, what kind of God is there? What have we known in the deepest places of our hearts? And then there is this matter of Jesus. You may have heard of him. I'm amazed at how many people really like Jesus but don't like God. It would seem that God is the guy who walked around being nice to everybody, carrying little lambs. It was Jesus who told the parable of the prodigal son about the ever-loving, ever-welcoming Father. It was Jesus who refused to condemn the woman caught in adultery. It was Jesus who went to the cross as an act of faithfulness to God. Jesus is a pretty nice guy. But God, they think, is angry and judgmental, forgetting all the while that Jesus is supposed to be for us the picture of what God looks like. They keep forgetting that Jesus is God writ in human flesh. What if God looks like Jesus? What if you and I can look like God? What if we stop liking Jesus more than God and accept that they are one and the same, and that God is that ever-loving person? Which is to say, for the last several hundred years, we Christians, followers of God, have had this picture in our mind of what God was like and how the universe worked. But that picture has grown faded and irrelevant with time. It's time for us to grab a new one. And maybe that God is not up in the skies, but here amongst us. It was God who said that in him we live, or Paul who said that in him we live and move and have our beings. What if God is here amongst us? It was Jesus who said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of you." What if God looks like the church at its very best? I believe that it's time to draw a new picture. And maybe 1 John had it right. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." Which raises the most interesting question. That bulletin cover that I saw as a child, that I will never forget. What if that picture was wrong? What if all along God has been more present and more loving than we could ever imagine? What if? And we've got to be careful, because none of us are going to get our minds all around God and understand it all, and we can get it just as wrong as our predecessors. It was Brian McLaren who wrote that we should never underestimate our ability to be wrong. We must step carefully and with humility. But what if it's time to draw a new picture of God? Not just out of our imaginations, but out of the history of our people, out of our scriptures. What if it's time, out of our experience? What if it's time for us to draw a new picture of a God that we admit that we know? Would you pray with me? Oh God, we admit that if we can draw a new picture of you, that everything changes. If we can see you as present and as love, then God, we must see ourselves as your children, as your creations of purpose. Everything changes, God. Help us to talk and think with humility and with honesty. In the name of Christ. Amen.